If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Revoice Podcast Network. The mic is ours.
Welcome back to the Bad Attitude Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Celentano, and in episode 8, our final episode, we'll continue our conversation with artist and fellow VCU student, Serena Pearl. In the second half of our interview, Serena will tell us about her inspiration, how she integrates her influences, and we'll talk about some of her favorite old video games and get her take on how social media is affecting her generation. Serena was able to give us some insight into how an artist navigates the complexities of beg, borrowing, and stealing. Her advice, use multiple sources, never one for one, and we'll get into some of the complexities of how creativity can either be dissolved or improved based upon these subtle decisions. Episode 8, How Many Degrees of Separation?
Welcome back to the Bad Attitude Podcast, and we return with Serena to continue our conversation from episode 7. You maybe replicate or take pieces of different styles and sort of mix them together. Is there a tough line between sort of taking someone, borrowing someone's work, and then being influenced, like giving an homage and stealing? Like, do you find those lines to be blurred or difficult?
Yeah, I think I think it's really complex because I think we all take influence from something. I don't think anything is completely original. I think if you're only taking direct influence from a few amount of people, it's going to be a lot more noticeable than taking like pieces from a bunch of different artists or, you know, writers or whoever, any type of creative. I think it's really how many change it from the original thing that can take things from other people, but it's really how different you make them, and also that you're taking inspiration from multiple sources rather than just one. But I'd say that, yeah, I think we all take inspiration from impossible not to. That's how we kind of learn.
Do you have a favorite movie?
I really like stupid comedies. Comedies that are not good, they're just really stupid, and they're there to cheer me up.
Bad movies allow you to talk during them. That's yeah. The other thing. There's no expectation. Do you like them alone too, or do you rather watch with a couple people?
Oh, I love to watch it with other people. I feel like movies for me is a social thing. I'm the type of person who talks during the movie. I don't think I have good like film literacy.
So if you like those, what do you consider a guilty pleasure then? What about when it comes to music or some other form of art?
I grew up with Pokemon as a kid. I was a Nintendo DS kid. They had a bunch of games that I really liked, and I think it is very nostalgic based. I don't know if they're considered good when it comes to like game design and stuff, but I always liked kind of like pixel art. It's just something nostalgic, I think, because I grew up with it. So those would definitely be guilty pleasures for me. There's a game called Pokemon Mystery Dungeon.
Tell me about Pokemon Mystery Dungeon.
It was like an offshoot of the original games. It wasn't like you battled like gym trainers. It was more of like you were the Pokemon. And like it was one of those dungeon like RPG games. And you kind of went through like these different like, I guess, maps, and you had to like get through it. But the story was like, actually good. I mean, I don't know if it was, but like, I think it's probably nostalgia saying that it was good, but I really enjoyed it. It made me cry.
Serena asked how someone could deny social media was affecting them. It's got to be affecting us somehow, right? But then again, isn't that what addiction does? Keeps us from wanting to see what it's doing. All the DMs, followers, likes, the dopamine rush. It's exhilarating, isn't it?
How do you feel about AI going forward with its influence in general on technology and in your art?
So I personally don't use too much AI, but I kind of have a controversial opinion about it. Not really, because I have mixed feelings about it. I think since it's such a broad term, like, I feel like AI can be almost anything. It could be like, I don't know, effects that you use in Photoshop or, you know, a video editing program, to more complicated issues where it's literally generating images and stuff like that.
Yeah, a form of adding creativity that you almost need in order to keep up or save time or effectively use the software you're using. So, but an over-reliance on that maybe could remove some of the creativity or probably a lot of it because of the convenience of it for people. So I think maybe being aware of that.
Yeah, and I think, like, as an artist, we have so many different tools. I mean, like Photoshop, for instance, like, people used to, like, literally cut up, you know, their images and, like, collage it and stuff like that. But when that came out, that simplified the process. And I think AI has a way of simplifying maybe the more annoying parts of, like, the art creation and lets you actually focus on maybe the creative concept of a piece or something like that a little bit more. It really depends, I think, how you use it.
Yeah, I mean, as our last guest, Victor Romanko, said, that it's still the presence of the maker's hand. The possibilities are endless and ever-evolving, it seems.
There's a lot of scary things that could happen with AI or any technology. I mean, the camera can be used as a weapon. And I think that's the biggest thing about any new emerging technology, is it almost, it's not the technology in itself, but it's how people use it. And if society, the main issue is not AI, but it's the fact that employers are deciding to hire, or to not hire, like, actual artists, and they're deciding to, like, outsource labor to, like, AI or something like that. And I think technology, any sort of technology, like, it's unfortunately more likely to exaggerate humans' worst problems.
How does social media play a role? Are you active on social media? Do you use it with your art, trying to get things out there?
I am really bad at using social media. I use it for my art. I have a very mixed relationship with social media. I think it's very hard for me to be able to kind of, like, set boundaries with myself with social media, so I don't keep it on my phone.
No, that's smart. That's what you have to create boundaries within yourself. I can't get Oreos in the house because I'll eat them all. So I just don't buy Oreos. What principles do you admire or respect in other artists I really don't like it when these lines get blurred or something like that.
I don't think I never disrespect things necessarily when it comes to art, because I think art is one of those mediums where it's like, you're free to do whatever you want. Respect artists who use their art as a way to make a positive change. I think sometimes the fine art world has a little bit of an issue when it comes to accessibility to the public.
Anything that you're working on as far as any art shows or releases, projects or something?
I painted a mural near the Lombardi Kroger on the Bow Street parking deck. Yeah, thank you. Communicating the effects of the urban heat island effect. And I was doing thermal infrared photography, kind of measuring how different paints heat or absorb sunlight, and seeing how different factors, such as using, like, lighter pigment shades versus darker pigment shades, heat or reflect light, and kind of finding a way to communicate those different types of factors so that people know how to reduce the urban heat island effect.
ingredients worked out pretty well today. And thanks for coming on the podcast and talking with us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bad Attitude Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bad Attitude Podcast with today's guest, Serena Pearl. Created by me, your host, Danny Celentano, our editor, Brett Coleman, and our producer, Abby DeCandia, and as a segment of the Revoice Network. Please give us a review and download the show, and if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to check out more podcasts on the Revoice Network, Podline, and Common Talk. Thanks for listening to our final episode. That's it. It's over. Thanks for tuning in. You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.